December 20, 1925, the tears of Jesus. How he shed the tears of all creatures. To live in the divine will means to possess it as one's own. I was thinking of the tears that baby Jesus shed at his birth, and I said to myself, how bitter these tears must have been for him. How they must have now frozen, now burned that tender face. In fact, from what I know, tears have two effects depending on the reason for which they are shed. If their cause comes from love, they burn and make one sob. If then they are produced by sorrow, they are ice cold and make one shiver. For my royal little baby there was intense and infinite love, and endless sorrow. So, his tears must have cost him very much. Now, while I was thinking about this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior, and showed his face wet with tears, but so many, that one flowed after the other, to the point of wetting his chest and his hands. And, sighing, he said to me, my daughter, my tears began from the very first instant of my conception in the womb of my celestial mama, up to my last breath on the cross. The will of my celestial Father entrusted to me also the task of tears, and I was to shed so many of them from my eyes, for as many as all creatures together would shed. Just as I conceived all of their souls within me, so was I to shed all of their tears from my eyes. See, then, how much I had to cry. I had to shed from my eyes the tears which creatures shed out of passion, so that mine might extinguish their passions. I had to shed the tears which are needed after sin, to give them the sorrow for having offended me and the conviction of the evil they had done, preparing, with my tears, the resolution not to offend me anymore. I had to shed the tears in order to move souls to compassion, to make them comprehend the pains of my passion. And I also shed abundant tears of love, in order to electrify souls to love me, to draw their sympathy and their hearts, all for me. It is enough to tell you that there is not one tear that arises on the human eye, which I did not shed from my eyes. No one knew of my many tears, of my much crying, hidden and secret. How many times, even as a tender child, I flew from earth up to heaven, and leaning my little head upon the knees of my celestial Father, I cried and cried, and, sobbing, I said to him, my Father, you see, I am born in the world to tears and to sorrow, just like my brothers, who are born to tears, and die amidst crying. And I love these brothers so much, that I want to shed all of their tears from my eyes. Not even one do I want to let escape, so as to give to their tears, tears of love, of sorrow, of victory, of sanctification and of divinization. How many times, my dear mama, in looking at me, was pierced in seeing me all wet with crying. And because of the pain of seeing me cry, she united her tears to mine, and we cried together. And sometimes I was forced to hide myself to give vent to crying, so as not to always pierce her maternal and innocent heart. Other times, I waited for the moment when my celestial mama, out of necessity, had to occupy herself with housework, to give vent to my tears, in order to complete the number of tears of all creatures. On hearing this, I said to him, my love, Jesus, so, your eyes have shed also my tears, as well as those of our first father Adam. And I want you to pour them upon my soul, to give me the grace not only to do your most holy will, but to possess it as my own thing and my own will. At that moment, Jesus shook his head, and from his face tears flowed onto my poor soul. And he added, daughter of my will, indeed I shed your tears, so that, as they would pass through my eyes, I might give you a great gift of my will. That which Adam could not receive with his tears, even though they too passed through my eyes, you can receive. In fact, before sinning, Adam possessed my will, and with the possession of my will he grew in the likeness of his Creator. And he grew so much as to form the enchantment of all heaven, and all felt honored in serving him. After sin, he lost the possession of my will, and even though he wept over his fault and he sinned no more, he was able to do my will, but not to possess it. because the divine offended one was missing, who was to form the new divine graft between the creature and the creator, in order to let him cross again the thresholds of the possessions of the eternal volition. This graft was made by me, eternal word, after 4,000 years, when Adam had already passed on to the thresholds of eternity. But in spite of this divine graft done by me with tears and sighs and unheard of pains, how many reduce themselves to the conditions of Adam after sin, merely doing my will? Others do not want to know it. Others rebel against it. Only one who lives in my will rises to the state of Adam innocent, before falling into sin. In fact, there is great distance between those who do my will and those who possess it, the same distance which passes between Adam innocent and Adam after sin. And I, in coming upon earth, was to act as God. I was to complete the work of man in everything. I was to raise him to the first point of his origin, by giving him the possession of my will. And even though many make use of my coming as remedy for their salvation, and therefore take my will as medicine, as strength and as antidote in order not to go to hell, I will wait still, that souls may arise who take it as life. And by making it known, they may take possession of it. In this way, I will complete the work of my coming upon earth, and the divine graft formed anew with the creature, will have fruit. Then will my tears turn into celestial and divine smiles, for me and for them.